This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Information warfare in space, a contest. Russia to launch spy satellite for Iran, but use it first over Ukraine, goes the headline, Washington Post most recently. The satellite, which is a product of Iran, we're told, named Khayyam, is to be launched by Russia's Roscosmos within hours. This introduces the whole idea of information warfare in space, or warfare in space. So I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, who for some months now has very carefully explicated war game scenarios that he and his colleagues conduct about war or contest or dispute in space, in near-Earth orbit. The twist here is that Russia is launching a satellite that may or may not be information warfare for a surrogate, lending Russia some deniability and questioning whether Iran is engaged in hostile activity in space as it is in the Middle East. Henry, a very good evening to you. I remember particularly our conversation about the future 2027 to 2029, when we entertained the possibility of the People's Republic of China conducting hostility in space and what is to be done by the major powers. In this instance, however, we don't have to wait for 2027 or 2029. We can speculate on the basis of the fact that Russia and China are now adversaries of NATO. Iran has made very clear that it is allied with Moscow and Beijing. And therefore, any launch of an Iranian satellite must be suspect in low Earth orbit. I add to this the fact that Russia most recently has launched a spy satellite or something that near to it, a military mission titled Cosmos 2558, launched it in an orbit at 97.25 degrees. That brings it very close to a recently launched U.S. spy satellite designated NROL/87. So while the major powers may be engaged in a dance that 60 years ago was regarded as speculative, that is, satellites in space, it is now so routine, many countries are hiring private individuals to launch satellites for them for surveying, for geography, for communications. And the suggestion is that Iran is launching a satellite with Russia's help for hostility. Is this, to your knowledge, something new in terms of large state warfare? And does your war game of 2027-2029 now come to 2022 right in front of us? Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I don't think the war game that we had with China as a main actor covers this new phenomena very well at all. In fact, I'm now trying to devise a new war game to think about this launch of an Iranian spacecraft by the Russians. It is a Russian satellite in most respects, by the way. I think the reason it's new is now smaller countries like Iran will have satellite surveillance capabilities that they can use, you know, somewhat crude, I have to add. I mean, this has a resolution of about, 2 yards, whereas we have, very exquisite satellites that have resolutions that are, a small fraction of that number. But that said, even with that, Iran can use this satellite to survey Israel, Saudi Arabia, whomever, and perhaps even help them target their drones and cruise missiles in more timely and more accurate fashion. So that's one worry. As far as Russia going to Iran and asking it for help in using that satellite, perhaps that's something to think about as well. But I don't think it will maneuver to cause conjunctions in space. That's yet into the future. But what's here and now are the concerns that this smaller state now will have larger state capabilities to do warfare in its region. And I don't think it's going to stop with Iran and Russia.
Information warfare, to your understanding, is that prescribed by the Outer Space Treaty of 1967 or the Artemis Accords that nearly two dozen nations have now signed, putting a satellite near a satellite to intercept information?
No.
In not anticipating that, have we now opened up what you could say is a workaround for escalation between the powers? Hire a surrogate, claim it's a weather satellite, and launch.
Well, that's conceivable. I think what we have to perhaps begin thinking about, we have a little bit of time, is, you know, how does the world of space conflict work when you have attribution issues and you're not clear if what was done is intentional or accidental, civil or military, and who the actor is? It used to be easier when it was just Russia and the United States in space. We're moving away from that past pretty quickly.
You've told me that you're anticipating calling the new war game Lusitania's in space. I recover the facts of Lusitania. It was a passenger liner that at the time may have been carrying munitions or some war materials, may have. However, at the time of its sinking, this is 1915, it was an incident that became the predicate for the U.S. entering the war 2 years later. A long conversation through a presidential election, but that's the nature of history and escalation. You anticipating now that what we're looking at here is the first satellite to be brought down or bumped accidentally? There'll be lots of denials. We didn't do it. It was an accident. It blew up. It sank on its own. And then accusations will escalate. Is that what we're anticipating?
I don't know what we're anticipating, but what you've just laid out is part of the mix of future headaches that are new.
And because of this, and because we're not thinking through it, it's a puzzle to me sometimes, Henry, when I consider the news of the day from Europe. There is a war in Europe that's drawn in the People's Republic of China and NATO at the same time. So NATO's writ is no longer from the Baltic Sea to the Black Sea. It's from the North Atlantic to the Pacific to the Sea of Japan. All of that is now part of the conflict. To your measure, are the space powers and their surrogates, are they taking into account the war on the planet for a war in space?
Well, I think they're trying to do both, but I think it's a tall order because, as we've discussed in earlier sessions, war in space is very, very different than military activity on the Earth in a couple of key respects. For one thing, it's very difficult to move spacecraft right now into position to inspect or harm another satellite. It takes a lot of time, sometimes many weeks. That's very different than what we can do with a missile flying, you know, through many countries, borders in a matter of minutes or hours at most. It's different in that respect. And then it's different as well because what it is that you can do in space frequently is self-defeating. If it produces a lot of debris, it may harm you. So you have to be very, very careful about what you're doing. But without getting into all the academic points, it's not easy for the United States government and its friends to figure out what the issues are and, you know, much less how to organize to deal with space conflict scenarios that are conceivable, particularly since many of them have not yet happened.
At this point, Henry, just in our final 30 seconds, this launch of an Iranian satellite, the launch of the Russian satellite to, in some fashion, come close enough to a U.S. spy satellite. Is this the future, Henry? These activities.
I think both of those things we are thinking about, and we need to publicly talk much more about than we have today.
Henry Sokolsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm looking forward to speaking to Henry about the game that he designs for his colleagues, Lusitania's in Space. For now, we have this about the pending launch by Russia of an Iranian satellite. Tehran denied the U.S. reports that Moscow will use the satellite as part of its war against Ukraine. Iran went on to say, all orders related to the control and operation of this satellite will be carried out and issued from day one and immediately after launch by Iranian experts based in Iran's space bases. It dismissed the claims as untrue and said no third country is able to access the information sent by satellite due to its, quote, encrypted algorithm. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.